Good to see everybody present with us this morning. Good to have a lot of our members back. You were missed as you were gone, some in sickness that weren't able to be here. They are back also. Just good to have our folks back. There is no denying that there are some very intelligent people in this world. There are people whose brains think on a higher level than mine does. I'll just admit that in many different things. Sometimes the trust in those people are misplaced. Matter of fact, quite often they are misplaced. And sometimes there's even a lack of recognition between those that are greatly learned and those that have agendas. And I want to refer back to the statement made in this lesson by God Himself as He speaks through Isaiah in the 55th chapter, beginning in verse 8. And implore upon us that we really use the true wisdom, the true knowledge, the true understanding that is from God to make decisions in our life rather than trusting in men. When we think about that, God makes the statement, of course, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, says the Lord." And He also goes on and says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts than your thoughts, and my ways than your ways." And so I want us to think about it from several different standpoints in which we're going to make this presentation. First of all, when we think about ourselves, and we think about the true knowledge that is out there and the true reasoning that is out there, Is your reasoning reasonable? In Isaiah 1 and verse 18, God said to Israel, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And as we're going to see, God's not calling upon Israel at this time to come and have a debate with Him. He's not talking about an exchange of ideas and thoughts about what would be amenable for them, what would be acceptable for them. But rather He's talking about from the standpoint of true knowledge and understanding that His thoughts being higher than those of man. That the reasoning that He is presenting here to them is not about their reasoning nor men's reasoning, but rather the true reasoning that is from God. In Isaiah 41, verse 21 through 23, God calls on Israel again and says, "Present your case, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, says the King of Jacob. Let them bring forth and show us what will happen. Let them show the former things that what they are, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare to us things to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. Yes, do good to good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and see it together." Israel had entered into, of course, idolatry, which had been warned against by God at the very beginning of the law to them. When we look at Exodus, the 20th chapter, and we begin there in verse 1 and read down through several verses, the majority of the very first part of the giving of the law had to do with don't enter into idolatry. And that is repeated over and over and over again. The command, the admonition, even the presentation of the foolishness of idolatry that Isaiah goes into as God gives it to him in the 44th chapter of Isaiah. And here, God is calling upon them, present now your strong case. Present your case, in some versions say strong case. Present your strong case before the Lord. You enter into idolatry, you forget the true reasoning that comes from God, that which would make your sins as white as wool. And you trust in that which are no gods whatsoever. And that's where Israel got to. That's where they had come to, a God that led them out by His strong hand out from bondage of Egypt And shortly after that, after the warnings over and over and over again and down through their generations over and over and over again, went back to idolatry. And you think about that from the standpoint of what takes place today, and people are involved in idolatry today. Some of them have images that they bow down to. That is still alive and well in our society, in this world. And even those that don't bow down to actual images themselves bow down to men's reasoning above rather the true reasoning that comes forth from God. And they pay obeisance to the God of science, so-called science in the world today, which is really not true science. And the God of merchandise, and the God of the idols of Hollywood, and the God of the idols in Washington, D.C. It's alive and well. Idolatry still alive and well. In Matthew 21, verses 23 through 27, speaking of Jesus, says, when he came to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? But Jesus answered and said to them, I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by the authority, by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men? Just stop right there for just a moment, because the question that was asked in class was John inspired, or right there Jesus is saying, yes, he was. And he puts that forth before the people. And here is now the reasoning of men that shows forth a lack of true character that takes place in those that reason separate apart from God's word. He says, it says there, and they, that is the Jews, that Jesus is now answering, reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus and said, we don't know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. And the reason he answers them that way is because they had a corrupt character. To even think in these ways, if we say of God, we admit we're wrong. If we say that he's of men, well, then we fear the people. And all of that in reasoning around rather that which is horizontal in thought, equal in thought, man to man, rather than that which is from heaven. And there you have the reasoning of men today. And in such cases, that takes place even among those that are Christians. You know, Jesus had said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. And there are those that want to go, and before they ever give an answer, well, what are the ramifications that can hurt me? Rather than, here's the answer that I give, first of all, as I believe, or second of all, as the truth is stated from God's word. That reasoning, when we try to excuse ourselves based upon our thoughts and wants, is not the reasoning that is from above. Isaiah, the first chapter, verse 19 and 20. As we find out, God goes on and says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. When he approached them and said, let us reason together. This is really the culmination of that thought. If you are willing and obedient, because true reasoning comes from above. It's not from here upon this earth. It's not from man. Man can only supply to other men in their reasoning and their thought that which is within their capability, which is limited. God is higher than that. Is your logic logical? 2 Kings 5 chapter, verse 10 through 12. We have a very familiar account here, and this, of course, is about Naaman the leper. And beginning in verse 10, it says, and Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, and of course the context of this is that Elisha is a leper and he wants to be cleansed. And we're going to see his thoughts and attitudes toward that. He comes to the house of this prophet Elisha. Elisha does not even come out, but Elisha sends out a servant to give the instruction to Naaman. And here is the servant's message to him from Elisha. Go and wash 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. I want you to think about this from the standpoint of logic. There is nowhere back in Syria, and that's where Naaman was from, there was nowhere back in Syria that Naaman could go with even the hope of being cleansed of his leprosy. There was no outlet for that. There was no means for that whatsoever. If it had not been for a little servant girl that had been taken captive, that was a Jewish servant girl, he would not have known about this prophet that was in Israel. He would not have known about the hope that was given to him, the one and only hope that existed upon the face of this earth, because this prophet was a prophet of the one true and living God. And he comes and he asked to be cleansed, and the formula for that then is given to him by Elisha through this messenger. Notice the attitude after all of this, beginning in verse 11. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out and stand and call out on the name of the Lord of God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the rivers of Bana-Pharpar in Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. One of the most asked questions, and we'll make application to this right here, one of the most asked questions by those that are seeking some sort of salvation. What must I do to be saved? One of the most asked questions in religion. What must I do to be saved? It's asked by people that are in pain, people that are experiencing tribulation and persecution and trial, people that are experiencing the truth of the matter that there is no satisfaction in this life whenever it is that which just is physical. And I liken it much to, and especially in our society today, the drug addict. That initial partaking of the drug, as I learned in several hours of classes that I had to take, that initial taking of the drug gave a euphoric feeling that was never matched from that point forward. And so the more and more drugs had to be taken in order to get some semblance, which never was the full effect of that drug in that person ever again. Never could reach or attain that euphoria that they had at first. And here you have in this world today, people that ask that question with a euphoric thought of salvation certainly is offered to us as we look in God's Word. And so often they don't like the reply. And the reply comes back, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." And the answer that comes back from them is, "I don't believe that baptism has anything to do with forgiveness of sins. Why did you ask? What was the point? If you will not hear God's Word, stay in your euphoric attitude of looking and searching, but don't listen to the truth. Stay in that." Here he was. Naaman hears the means of his cleansing. And he's upset. I thought that some grand thing was going to take place, that there would be some sort of ceremony where the prophet would wave his hands over the leprous area. I would be cleansed. And he tells me, "Go and wash 7 times in the river Jordan, and the rivers back where I came from, Abana and Pharpar, are much cleaner." Well, Naaman, go back and wash there and see the result. It will not be the cleansing of your leprosy. You had those rivers with you in your land all this time that you've been a leper. I would dare say that he had not or had gone and dipped in those rivers before, and it did not change his leprosy. He makes accusation against the very thing that he's wanting, the very thing that he desires, and places it from the standpoint of his own logic. This cannot be. And so it is with the world today. What God says just cannot be. Matthew the 19th chapter, verse 16, also verses 21 and 22. We have a young man that was very rich that comes to Jesus and said, "Good teacher, what good thing should I do to have eternal life? I want eternal life." That's another thing that's stated in the world. How can I have eternal life? How can that be? It's very interesting wherever you look at that, even with the extremely intelligent people that we have in medicine today. And I've heard this stated several times in documentaries, and I've read it also. Science cannot figure out why it is that we age. They don't know what causes that. Cell structures are the same up to a certain point, then certain things take place, but they don't know why. They don't know why we age. They don't have an answer to it. And here it is, a body that is physical, just as it has been since the very beginning of time when God created it, that they have spent hours and hours and eons of hours studying and still cannot come up with that answer. Do you think it causes humility? No. They still have the answer to so many things as long as God is not involved in the equation. And so he says, Jesus says to him, "If you want to be complete, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Verse 22, "But when the young man heard that, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Don't ask the question. If you're not interested in eternal life, why did you ask the question to the Master, to the one that holds eternal life, because he is eternal? Why did you ask? Why did you inquire? What logic is it for you to inquire, and when you receive then the truth, to turn away? Well, it's not really about logic. It's about, again, a flawed character. One that places more importance on the things of this earth rather than the truth that comes from God. 2 Kings 5th chapter, verse 13 and 14, we see what happens going back to Naaman with his logic. "And his servants came near." Remember, he went away. He turned in a rage back in verse 12 of 2 Kings 5. He went away in a rage. In verse 13 it says, "And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you have not done it?'" And he knew that he would. He was a man of war. He understood authority. And he would do a great thing, any great thing, to accomplish anything that was the task before him. And he knew that, and his servants knew that. How much more then, when he says to you, "Wash and be clean"? The simplicity of the truth. Will you not listen to the simplicity of the truth? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a child, and he was clean. You see, his logic didn't matter. And man's logic today doesn't matter, because you have the standard of the absolute truth from the one whose thoughts is higher than our thoughts, and his ways much greater than our ways. Let me ask, is your wisdom wise? Isaiah 5, verses 20 and 21. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." We see this over and over again in our world today. It was happening in Israel back then, thousands of years ago. Lying prophets. They were looking out for their own interest, appeasement to a king that they were serving. And they would call then that which was evil, good, and that which was good, evil. They would reverse things on that. And here you have today, here you have today at the prospect of the possibility of reversing Roe v. Wade, and politicians saying this is a blasphemous, anti-religious, unspiritual, unrighteous action to do so. And they're fighting so hard to have the legal right to put babies to death. I've mentioned it to you before, and I'm still aghast, and I'm going to mention it to you again. There was a proposal before Roe v. Wade, this question about Roe v. Wade even came up, with, in Virginia, a law being made that at birth, the mother could then make the decision whether she wanted the child or not. The child would be kept comfortable until she made that decision. Can we not recognize, can people not recognize what murder is? Human murder? Even if they don't believe that life begins at conception, which is an illogical belief by anyone on this earth, how could they get to the point? How could they come to a conclusion, we'll kill the baby afterwards if the mother doesn't want the baby? How do they get there? Woe unto them who are wise in their own eyes. That's how they got there. In Exodus, the 5th chapter, and verse 2, Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? And that is being stated over and over again in our world. As a matter of fact, not only by politicians, but also by religious leaders. Who's the Lord that I should obey His voice? Baptism for remission of sins? Cannot be. Cannot be. And that's exactly what they're saying right there. Who's the Lord that I should obey His voice? Psalm the 10th chapter, verse 4 through 6. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. And there you have the wisdom of man that says in this world today, and those that think along the same way, I cannot be taken down. I have the power. I have the determination. My body, my choice. That is, until it's time to get a COVID shot. And then it's your body, my choice. But you think about that. And that's what this wisdom will always do. They will reverse always on things that suit them or do not suit them. Numbers 16, chapter and verse 3. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to him, you take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? And that's when Korah and his friends came to Moses, questioning Moses' leadership. You take too much upon yourself. That would be like someone of this congregation saying to Brother Greg and Brother Darrell, who do you think you are being elders of this congregation? Every child of God is one that is called out and holy before Him. Well, the fact of the matter is just as it took place here, it was God that made that determination. And as Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy the 3rd chapter, it is by the Spirit of God that there are those that are elders in this congregation, and thank God for them. And God has made that determination, not man. Numbers 16, 29 through 33, we see the end of that. And it says, if these men die naturally like all men, or if they are visited by the common fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. He said, that's the sign. But if the Lord creates a new thing, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord. Now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and with all the men, with Korah, with all their goods, so that So they and all those with them went down alive into the pit. The earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. God made his point, did he not? And I will tell you, we would not have any population problem whatsoever today if that is the way that God dealt with us. There would be few upon this earth. There would be few. And so the wisdom of men, in consideration especially here as we look at this, the leadership that God sets forth, being made overseers by the Holy Spirit, by the divine, we don't call into question, we follow them. Now what we do is we look at what they tell us to do, and we search it out in Scripture. But whenever they speak the truth, we follow them. We follow them. Let me ask, is your timing timely? Is your timing timely? James 4, chapter verses 13 and 14, James says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Who can add time to their life? Who can do that? There is none that have that power. There is none that say, "I will live to be 150 years old and make it happen." It cannot be. And not only that, we don't know what is going to be taking place. And in the wisdom of men, with their timing in mind, they say, "I'm going to accomplish this. I'm going to do that. I, as a matter of fact," and this happens too, I will render obedience to God and be baptized when I decide, after I've exhausted all other means of what I want to do, well, then I will come to the Lord. I've told you in the past about the man that told a preacher during the years of drought in South Texas. He said, "Well, when the rains come and the tanks are full," I'm talking about the ponds, for some of you that don't understand what a tank is, "and it catches enough water to be baptized in, well, then I'll be baptized." And guess what? Those rains came, and he never was baptized, because he never intended to be baptized. And he died, as far as I know, not being a child of God. He's in the hands of a just God, and that's all we can say about that. But we don't know about our timing. Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 18 and 19. "So he said, 'I will do this,'" and this is the rich farmer, "'I will pull down my barns, build greater, and there I will store my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" I know what is ahead of me. I know the years that I have. I know my plans, and I intend to carry them out. And all of this is mine, without recognition of the fact, first of all, that what he had because God allowed him to have it. And then in verses 20 and 21, "But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?' So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." You see, the timing to do God's will is now. And there's never a better time. Now is always the best time. Now is the only time that you can count on. And now may not be more than a millisecond. But now is the time. Revelation 16, verse 15, "Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." And what is being spoken of there, we can make the application to those that are not clothed upon with Christ Jesus, who have put on Christ Jesus in baptism. And then their shame is shown forth. Put it off for every reason that they can think of in their reasoning, in their logic, in their wisdom, and in their false hope of timing in their life, which they know nothing about. And people do that day in and day out. Your thoughts and God's truth. This is a quote from a Titanic crew member to the passengers that were boarding the Titanic. God Himself could not sink this ship. It lay at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean today. And it wasn't many days after that that it went down. And sureties cannot be made in this life. Menachem Begin, who was, of course, a prime minister of Israel, said this: there is no guarantee that can guarantee a guarantee. And in the sense of that which is physical, that which is of this life, he's right. But we see in Isaiah 55, verse 9 through 11, he's not right, because we deal with one that is higher than us. For as the heavens, Isaiah 55, 9 through 11, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, the snow from heaven, and does not return there, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my words be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. And there you have the truth of the matter in connection with God's thoughts and our thoughts. The fact of the matter is that if you have question about your soul salvation, God has the answer. If you have a question about eternity, God has the answer. If you have question about how you are conducting yourself, God has the answer. And His ways are higher than our ways, and it is the final answer that is given. And it is the absolute truth. And so I ask you this morning, if you're not a child of God, have you ever asked the question, what must I do to be saved? Well, if you've not asked that question, then you think too highly of yourself. And the reason being is that you consider that I'm good, I've done nothing wrong. And just by not doing the Lord's will, you have committed evil, you've committed sin, and that's the matter of fact that we find from God's Word. Mark 16, verse 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not will be condemned, because he trusts in his own reasoning, logic, wisdom, and time. And you don't know what any of those are in connection with what you determine, because there are no hope beyond God and His higher thoughts. Those of us that are children of God, boy, I was baptized, I've got that stamp of approval, I'm headed straight to heaven. Nothing's going to stop me now, but I'm not lifting a finger to do the Lord's will. I'm not working for Him. I'm not mentioning my Lord to others. No, I'm not doing any of that. Your reasoning, your logic, your wisdom, and your timing is off, because you don't even understand your purpose. As Paul states in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that we should walk in them. That was foreordained by God. And you can get that straightened up if you'll ask forgiveness, come back to the Lord, have a true conviction in your heart to be a servant of God and not just a bench warmer. So let me ask you one more time in closing, what is your reasoning? And here's the answer: it doesn't matter. What is your logic? Here's the answer: it doesn't matter. What is your wisdom? Here's the answer: it doesn't matter. What is your timing? It doesn't matter. But you can make choice right now. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.